for our Christmas series, as we go on a journey in Preparavior, each sermon will focus on a popular Christmas hymn. We'll look at A Journey of Longing, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus, A Journey of Searching, What Child Is This, A Journey of Humility, O Little Town of Bethlehem, A Journey of Joy, O Come All Ye Faithful, and A Journey of Celebration, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Journey of Searching from our series, A Journey. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Journey of Searching.
Until about a year later, all right? So, you know, in my yard, I have a nativity, and I got the baby Jesus, I got Mary, and I got Joseph. Haven't got any shepherds yet, but if I had some shepherds, they would be right there. And if I had some wise men, I would put them on the other side of my yard to say, they're not there yet. They're coming. They're on the way. They saw the star, and they're coming. But what was it about this child that caused the wise man to come? Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, and verse 11. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young, see again, now look, they came to the house, right? Everybody else came to the stable, the manger. They came to the house, right? And even two different words are used there. And when they came to, now let me say this. If you got wise men, go ahead and put them there. Go ahead and put your wise men there. If you want to be unbiblical, just go ahead and put them there. No, seriously, you can put them there. Just know that they weren't there. All right, that's one of my pet peeves, right? All right, let me move on. When they came to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, the gift of a king. Frankincense, the gift of one who was sent long for because of prayer, and myrrh, which was bitter, prophesying what he would end up doing by dying on the cross. So they brought these treasures to him, and I'm sure they had to ask the question, what child is this? And then the last person that I believe asked this question, what child is this? And that was Herod, because Herod wanted to kill him. And we see here in Matthew 2:13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. What child is this that even Herod wanted to kill him? As we revisit our hymn, we're going to find some answers to what child is this. And notice in the hymn, there were several questions that were posed by the author. First of all, what child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? What child is this? What child is this whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? See, y'all sang this morning. All right, you sang this morning. You sang these questions this morning. What child is this? And then the question is asked, why lies he here in such a mean estate? And I thought to myself, what is a mean estate? You know, if you say, like somebody that got, you know, a big Ponderosa, right? And they got all kind of fancy decorations and everything. You say, man, they got a mean estate, man. Is that what it means? No, that's not what it means, right? A mean estate. So we sang that this morning. Did we know what, I'm pointing at myself too. Do we know what we sang, right? I'm going to tell you what you're saying. Mean estate means an unflattering, uncomfortable, and insulting circumstances. And notice what it follows up by saying, where ox and ass are feeding. This was a unflattering. This was an insulting circumstance. What child is this that lies here in this mean estate? So those were some of the questions that were posed in the hymn. Now notice, there are three answers that are given clearly in the hymn. This child is the king. Notice what it says here. This is Christ the King. This child is a suffering Savior. Notice it says, nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me and you. And this child is God incarnate. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh. Let's look at these three things. Let's examine them as we get a better understanding on what child is this. First of all, we see that this child is a king. This is Christ the King, who shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Jesus was a king. Even though he was a babe lying in the manger, he was a king. What is a king? A king is one who has dominion and authority over all things. Jesus has dominion and authority over all things, that when he lie there in that manger, that he was still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That as he lie there as a babe, he was still the King of the universe. He was a king. The first time Jesus came, he came veiled as a child. He was marked by a star at his arrival. Wise men brought him gifts. There was no room for him. Only a few attended his arrival. The next time Jesus comes, he will be recognized by all. Heaven will be lit up with his glory. He will bring rewards for his own. The world will not be able to contain his glory. And every eye shall see him when he comes again. He will come in the fullness of being the king. But he came the first time as a king. People just didn't recognize him. They just didn't understand. And so, shepherds, Mary, did they understand that he was a king? Did they understand that he would not only rule a nation, he would not only rule a continent, that he would not only rule the world, but he would rule everything that exists? That's why the Bible says all things are under his feet. That means that all things will submit to him. All things will come under subjection to him. Can you imagine what it's like for that little baby to be lying there, and yet everything that exists comes under subjection to him? My, 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 who is this child? This child is a king, but he is a king unlike any other king, because he is a king of everything. The second thing that we see that was answered in the psalm is not only was he a king, but he was a suffering savior. The songwriter said this, "Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me and you." That's what we sung this morning. Isaiah put it like this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. William Dix said that he was a suffering savior, that he would be pierced through, that he would bear the cross for me and you, that that babe that was lying there in that manger would grow up one day to suffer on a cross and die. Who is this child? The suffering savior. One mom was shopping during Christmas. She got frustrated with the whole shopping experience. And she said, "They ought to kill whoever invented Christmas." And somebody said, "It's too late. They already did." It's too late. They already did. They already killed the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They already killed the one who is over Christmas. And the third thing that we see from the song is that this child is God incarnate. Notice the hymnologist said, "Hail, hail, the Word made flesh." John, the apostle, puts it like this in 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That the incarnate Christ, that God actually became a man so that he could identify with us in the struggles that we go through. That's why the writer of Hebrews says that we don't have a God who has not been touched by our infirmities, but in everything that we have experienced, he has gone through. He became incarnate to feel what we feel. Booker T. Washington was given a shirt that was made of flax. And he often received these because in families, sometimes the older kids would get the clothes that were a little bit better. And so Booker T. would receive shirts made of flax, which were rough, which were uncomfortable, which put you out of sorts. And he shared the story how that his older brother would always take the flax shirts that they gave to Booker T, and he would wear them and give Booker T his shirt. He took the uncomfortableness. He wore the shirt until it would get a little bit better to wear. And isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus took our shirt of sin. He took our shirt of wickedness, and he put it on him. He wore it, and he gave us his righteousness. And so, wow, what an exchange. What an exchange, right? He took a shirt of sin, of filth, of wickedness and evil, and he wore it on the cross. He became uncomfortable. The nail scars, that the whipping, that the crown of thorns were uncomfortable for him. But he took it for us so that he could give us his clothes of righteousness. What an exchange. What an exchange. What child is this? He is the suffering Savior. He is the suffering Savior. And he is the incarnate God. Amen. Now, as I wind down here, the song offers some responses. The song offers some responses. And so as we think about what child is this, and we think about him being a king a suffering Savior, the incarnate God, how should we respond? First of all, we should praise him. The songwriter said, haste, haste to bring him laud. That word laud means praise. That we should haste, haste to bring him praise. Look at Luke chapter 2. We've read this, but bears reading again. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. Are you going to take some time this Advent season to praise him? Are you going to take some time and, you know, I tell people, I need three things to get ready for Christmas, right, during the Christmas season. First of all, Dr. Jones, Jerome, you know, playing the songs that they play, man, that just sets my heart right for Christmas. I love it. You know, I think even if it wasn't for the sermon, I would come just to hear the Christmas songs and to sing the Christmas songs. What we got going on here? All right. Just to sing the Christmas songs. So, now there are two other things that I like to get me ready for Christmas. And these might not be, you're going to say, oh man, Pastor, you're not being spiritual here, right? All right. One is, I got to hear Donny Hathaway sing this Christmas. Right? That, you know, I just turn on the radio. I wait for. I'm cool now. And then the other one is National Lampoon Christmas Vacation, right? You know, right? But I'm going to spend time praising him. Just every day when you get up, you can praise him, and you can give him the honor, and you can give him the glory that he respects. Not only praise him, but you can worship him. We see that the wise men, that even though they didn't show up right away, they came a little bit later, that they brought gifts to worship him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So we were admonished in the song that we sang this morning. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Worship him. How are you going to worship him? We'll spend a lot of time figuring out how to please other people by the gifts that we give them. But what gift will we give Jesus Christ? Well, how will we worship him? By giving of ourselves, by giving of our sustenance, by giving something to him. How will you worship him when you discover what child is this? And then I love Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And that means that you should accept him. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is, he's a savior. He came to save you from your sin. He came to rescue you from your sin. And so you ought to accept him. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what better time than to give your life to Christ? Than to accept him during any time of the year is a good time to accept him. But even if you come today and accept him as your Lord and Savior. So that was to the unsaved. Let me close out by giving a response from this hymn to you, the saints, which many of you are here today, and that is to make him Lord. To make him Lord. The songwriter said, let loving hearts enthrone him. Wow. But what does enthrone mean? Enthrone means to make him the king of your heart, to make him the Lord of your heart. And we see in Luke chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Which is Christ the Lord. Is he the Lord of your life? You see, there's a big difference, I think. Now, some people will tell you it's the same thing, that you can't accept him without making him Lord. So, you know, there's a big argument in theological circles about that. But I believe that a person can accept Christ and not allow Christ to be the Lord of their life. That you recognize that, you know, he is the king who sits on the throne of my heart. And so I ask the question today, when we say, what child is this? Who is on the throne of your life? If you have discovered what child this is, the little baby, if you've discovered what child this is that angels sang about, that the shepherds came to see, that Mary pondered, that Herod wanted to kill, what child is this? And if you come to understand who he is, think about who he is. Just in what we've talked about today, and I just want to say that I've just scratched the surface on who he is, because who he is so much more. As Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris would say, he's more than amazing, he's more than wonderful, he's more than marvelous, he's more than miraculous could ever be, right? If we understand what child this is, then we see that there is a circle with a throne in the center. And either you are on the throne of your life, and Christ is outside of the circle. Yet, we got our insurance policy against hell's fire, right? That if we die, you know, we'll go to be with the Lord. But do we make our own decisions without consulting him? Do we go our own way? Do we live our own lives with him on the outside of the circle? And that's a pretty pitiful sight right there. And even seeing it, looking at it, realizing that it's either self that's on the throne and Christ is outside, or that I remove self off the throne and he becomes the king in my heart. He becomes the Lord in my heart. I thank God that I might not live a perfect life. I might make some mistakes. But I'm going to tell you this one thing I got right, and I hope you got it right too, that you know what child this is. That you know what child, you understand what child this is, and that you have responded accordingly by praising him, by worshiping him, by accepting him, and by making him the Lord of your life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Journey of Humility. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Journey of Humility, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Humility. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Humility from our series, A Journey. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Journey, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to visit us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain here. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest. And now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.